society as a whole, the parsha which is filled with mitzvahs, with mitzvahs ha-Torah, and here we have all kinds of such mitzvahs, making sure to treat the dead with respect, even the person who's been given the death penalty, kavarsit berenu b'yom ahu, mitzvah to bury him, bury the person in a timely manner, because kilulas elokim talui, because it would be a disgrace to Hashem to leave a person hanging. We have the mitzvah of losir asher achicha se'anidochim, of looking out for somebody's lost objects to protect them from really losing their money. Matzil momen chaver me'avedosai hashava saveda, returning a lost object. We have the mitzvah of losir asher achicha se'anidochim neiflam baderach v'salamta mehem, if you see an animal collapsing under a weight, to help out the animal and its owner. All kinds of mitzvahs that speak to various, what we would call normally, ethical imperatives, of being careful in the treatment of other people, other things. And one of these mitzvahs is a famous mitzvah, an important mitzvah, ki korei kan tzipor lefanecha baderech. If you chance upon a bird's nest on the way, b'choleitze al oretz, on the tree, on the ground, efreichimai beitzim, v'imrei vetzesal efreichimai al beitzim, the nest has in it either little chicks or eggs, and the mother is revetes, is hovering over them, crouching over them, v'lesikacha emal habonim. Don't take the mother al habonim with the children. Shaleach teshalach esayim. Send away the mother v'es habonim tikachloch, and then you can take the children, so you will have good and you will have long days. That's the Torah's mitzvah and that's the Torah's promise. The Ramban here has a very lengthy discussion and a very important discussion about this mitzvah, and through it really about mitzvahs as a whole. And he begins by saying, you know, this mitzvah seems to be similar to what we find in Sefer Vayikra. One of the things that the Ramban always tries to accomplish in his Pirush on Sefer Dvarim is explaining why Dvarim is Mishnah Torah. Dvarim is Deuteronomy, the second time around in the Torah. And so the mitzvahs which are presented here would, generally speaking, not be presented originally for the first time, but they would be continuing, repeating, and expanding upon, explaining a mitzvah that appeared earlier in the Torah. So the Ramban has a struggle with this mitzvah, because this mitzvah, we never have any mention of it in the Torah before, sending away the mother before you take the children, says the Ramban, but it's really an expansion on a mitzvah we do find earlier in the Torah. It's similar to a mitzvah in earlier in the Torah, which is that the prohibition which it says back in Sefer Vayikra, of v'shayr aiseh aisoi v'yasbenoi leisish chatu b'yayim echad, an ox or a lamb, it and its child you should not shecht on one day. There's a prohibition against shechting the mother and its young, slaughtering the mother and its young on the same day. So by both of them, says the Ramban, is levilti hayos lanu lev achzori v'loy nerachem. It's to prevent us from having a cruel heart without mercy. O shel yatir hakosav lasis hashchos alakar amin afu bishiter hashchitav aminahu. Alternatively, if you want to focus on the object of the mitzvah, the animals or the birds, the idea is that Hashem doesn't want us to do something which is so destructive. If you shecht them, two generations, you know, the mother and child, it's like you're wiping out. If you take the mother and the young, it's like you're wiping them out. If you take one and spare one, so then you're showing a concern for the preservation of the min, for the preservation of the species. So those are the two sides. The Ramban says it could be both of them are mitzvahs about our compassion. It could be both of them are mitzvahs about preservation of the species, but they're two mitzvahs of the same type. And so this is the thing. Okay. Now, the Ramban goes on, and he quotes the Rambam in the Meir HaNebuchim, the Rambam in the Guide for the Perplexed, where he says, the tam shiluach hakan v'tam meitzev esponei l'sishcha tu b'yem echad hiri l'hazir, says it may well be, the Rambam says, that when it says don't shecht them on the same day, it's don't shecht one in front of the other. Don't take one from in front of the other. Because
It will disturb it. Literally, it means the animals have great worry from this.
In other words, it's not they're very upset to see their young taken. And he says, "In hefesh min dagas adam l'dagas avim sal b'neim, ki avaseim v'chanaisu l'vnei bitna inenu nimshach achrei asecha v'adibur, avul mipulas kaya machshava matzuya v'behemes kashrei matzuya v'adam." Says, and he says, the truth is the maternal instinct in this case, and that maternal compassion is not something which is unique to people. Animals also will have it. Because he says it's not a matter of intelligence. It's a matter of more fundamental, more fundamental intelligence and feeling that is not unique to people, says the Rambam. So he says if that's the case, the Yisr isn't so much about taking it and its child, but it's rather more about its child and it, because it's more about the issue of the child and the worry of the mother. That's what he brings. The Yisr Nochem Bavushlein is Achzer. And he says, it's all a harchaka, it's all just to be extra careful, and again, the root of it is that we should not. The better explanation, he says, is that we shouldn't be cruel. Amar HaRav, and the Rambam says, continues the Ramban, Al Toshiv Alay Mimamar HaChachanim HaYimar Al Kan Tzipur Yagiu Rachamecha. He says, there's a Mishnah that says, so the Mishnah actually appears in two places, that a person who's davening publicly, and they wax poetic, and they say, Hashem, your mercy extends to the bird's nest. So Hashem, have mercy on us too. So the Mishnah says, Meshatskin, I say, we silence him. We don't consider that to be an appropriate prayer. So ask the Rambam, what's wrong? It's a nice poetic prayer. Hashem answered us taking the mother and away from the young. And why did he do that? Because it'll be disturbing to the mother. So Hashem is worrying about the mother. So the Rambam says, remarkably, because this is achas mishtei svaris. When the Gemara says this, when the Mishnah says this, this is following one opinion. Svaris mishi yireki ein tam lemitzvus elachefet habayre. This is according to the opinion that mitzvahs were only told to do because Hashem wanted us to. Almost, well, he makes it sound arbitrary. Hashem said, I want you to do X, you do X. Hashem says, jump, you say how high. Hashem just told you, this is what I want you to do, and therefore that's what you do. And so the Mishnah says, don't start saying, oh, Hashem, your mercy extends to the bird's nest, because who says? Hashem's mercy extends to the bird's nest. Hashem told you to send away the mother before you take the young. But don't tell me it's because Hashem's mercies extend to the bird's nest. That's what that Mishnah is saying. And says the Rambam, that's one opinion. But anachnu machzikim v'svar ha'shniya shiyeh b'chol ha'mitzvah tam. We all like the second opinion, which is that every mitzvah has its reason. And according to that opinion, it wouldn't be inappropriate to say, Hashem, you worry about the bird's nest, because after all, we believe that would be the reason, we believe there's a reason for the mitzvah, and that would be the reason for the mitzvah. The Rambam was also troubled by what's found in the Midrash. Hashem gave us instructions about shechting, about how we slaughter an animal. We should shecht it from the neck, from the front of the neck, as opposed to from the back of the neck. So the Chazal, the Midrash, asks, what does Hashem care, front or back? Ella, halaynitnu ha-mitzvah sel l'tzarfim sabriyas. So the Medrash answers and concludes the mitzvahs are just there with tzarif and asabrias, to purify people. In other words, Hashem doesn't care about that. Hashem just cares about us. So again, so this quote the Rambam also brings there, that it's really just a test for people. It's arbitrary. Why does Hashem say do this and not do that? There's no reason other than to test people, to challenge people, no other reason. That's one opinion. But the Rambam, again, himself says we hold like the other opinion. Says the Rambam. What the Rambam says, that every mitzvah has a reason, mevuar hu ma'id. I think that's right. Ki b'chol echatam v'tayelos v'tikun l'adam, milvat z'chorin me'esam etzavim v'nisparach. We must believe that every mitzvah has a reason and a purpose and something which it does to improve a human being beyond the fact that because Hashem told you to do it, so therefore it's important and therefore you get rewarded because you listen to Hashem's instruction. No, there's an inherent value. וכבר אמרו חזל לפני לא להסכם לתעמי תאירה ודור של מחסה עתיק זה מגלל הדברים שכיסה עתיק ימין ומי נהיו תעמי תאירה. He brings a chazal, what statements of the sages, which indicate that clearly there are reasons for the mitzvahs of the Torah. We don't always know them. They're dvorim shekisa atik yoimin. They're things which the ancient one hid. He doesn't explain to us why every mitzvah is what it is, why we should do it this way and not that way. And by Parah Aduma, right, everybody knows, by the Parah Aduma, by the red heifer, we say, oh, that's chukas ha-Torah. Shlomo HaMelech was not able to figure out the purpose of that mitzvah and all the ironies built into that mitzvah. Okay. Regarding that, that's the case. That's the case. Moshe only was the one who knew. Nobody else knew. He may be Aruv. She'ein min yus tamay taira mimenu, elo yvarim besichleinu. She'she kvar nizgala tamach hamurah shvem l'chach meisro, okay, lo rabbis b'divreim. So this chazal indicates that there are reasons of the taira. And the greatest ones knew them all. If we don't know them, it's because we're missing something. We can't discern. We don't understand why Hashem said we should do it this way and not that way. But not because they're lacking of reason. There is no purpose. Hinei biyarum. So that's the Ramban's position. And he says, in truth, I would go further than the Ramban. Because while I agree with him in the principle which he says that we hold that there are reasons for the mitzvahs, and I've just added a few statements of Chazal that support that position, but I will even say that the statements of the Gemara and of Chazal that the Rambam quoted that seem to go against his position, that he understood as following a lone opinion that mitzvahs have no reason, says I don't think that that's true either. I think those also are following the opinion that we would hold that the mitzvahs have a reason. Sheratzu leimar, ratzu leimar, she'ein ha-te'eles b'mitzvahs la-Kadosh Baruch Hu b'atzmei yisaleh, aval ha-te'eles v'odam atzmei, v'imnoi mimenu nezek emuna roi mida meguna. It says, when Hashem gave us the mitzvahs, when Chazal say these things, they're saying, don't think Hashem gave you the mitzvah because He needed it. Because He needed you to accomplish something on His behalf. He's worried about the birds, so He sends you to take care of the birds for Him. And He wants to make sure that that animal gets it from the neck and doesn't get it from the back. So He's asking you to do it this way. No. It's not for Him. Aval ha-te'eles ba'adam. The benefit is for people. Atzma, Himself. Limnoi mimenu nezek, to withhold from him something that would be harmful, a emunara, and harmful, he doesn't mean necessarily a bruise. He means emunara, a bad belief, a mida maguna, a bad character trait. A liskar anisim v'niflois habayrei ladasas Hashem, or to remember the miracles, the acts of Hashem, to know Hashem. Zeu litzreif behem. And that's what Chazal mean. When they say, what does Hashem care, the neck or the back, the front or the back of the neck? Oh, the mitzvahs are only there, litzarech ben esabriyas. The way the Rambam did was to challenge people, to test people. Says Rambam, no. Litzarech comes from the term to purify. Siruf means to purify. Siruf kesef. Ki atzarech kesef ein maseyu b'leitam. When a person is mitzarech silver, they're not doing something meaningless or purposeless. They're doing something which will make the silver purer. And when Hashem gave us the mitzvahs, it was to make us purer. Lohitzi mi libeinu kol emuna ro, leidiyanu ha-emes ulu zeichrei tamid. Loshen zuha agada atzma huskura bilamdeinu beparsha zoi sachaya. And this medrash itself is explained in the medrash, in elsewhere. What is Hashem? Chumat ha-mayel, chumat ha-mazika. You don't help Hashem It's only to make the people better. That's the way the Ramban learns. And he goes on to discuss this and speak about, cite the verses, for instance, would say, if you do good, does it help Hashem? If you do bad, does it harm Hashem? Right? The mitzvahs are not making it or breaking it for Hashem. The mitzvahs are making it or breaking it for us. To make us into more complete human beings. Now the Maral, in the Sefer Tiferes Yisrael, where he talks about the Torah, the Maral discusses this Chazal at length. And the opinions of the Rambam and of the Ramban. And the Maral goes even further than the Ramban. He doesn't like to express it this way, that the Ramban expresses that it's simply just to make us better, to make us nicer. But he says, uses the language of the Gemara, that Einan el Gzeiris, that Hashem decreed, that this is what we must do. That to just say that it's rachmim or merciful, or even to make us merciful, is, you know, it's nice. But it's because it has to be this way, that it's part of Malchus Shamayim, part of the divine kingdom, that he says, this is the way you need to do things. This is the way you need to be. But what is the way you need to be? Why did Hashem tell us to be this way? So the Ramaral himself understands that it's because this is the Seder, the proper structure of a human being, of what a human being is able to be, what a human being can be. And this is what I want to talk to you about tonight. This is, you know, we introduced it here in the realm of the Parsha. We see so many mitzvahs here in our Parsha, in Kol HaTorah Kula. But the image, the one we spend more time here discussing, is the Ramban's image. The Maral's image, will supplement it a little bit. But the purpose of the Torah, says Chazal, is to make great human beings. That's what it's for. To make great human beings. Hashem gave us these mitzvahs, not because Hashem, you know, he's the CEO of some big corporation, has branches all over the place, and because he doesn't want to schlep everywhere and take care of everything, and he can't handle the cash register in every one of his stores, so he hires a bunch of people who are going to be able to take care of things out there for him. And the mitzvahs are getting a job done for Hashem Yisparach. No. Even, parenthetically, as the Maral points out in his critique of the Ramban, even though those mitzvahs are about people, and like part of the Ramban's understanding is, about birds, you're not going to tell me Hashem's caring about this one, that one, the other one, exactly with such a designated thing. Hashem's hashgacha, Hashem's divine providence doesn't extend to being concerned with the particular outcome of each particular bird. Says the Maral, it is for people, right? So for people, when Hashem tells us to have the mitzvah of tzedakah, it's because Hashem says you got to make sure that that person's taken care of. I need him taken care of, so you take care of him for me. He says no. If Hashem wanted him taken care of, then what would he do? He would send them a Federal Express package with manna in it, right? He would get it. That was the question, the famous question which. That Roman asked Rabbi Akiva, if Hashem loves the poor, why doesn't he take care of them? And what did he say to him? He said Hashem could take care of him, and Hashem is taking care of them through us. Why did he do it through us? So that we can be rewarded for it. So we can be participants. So yes, we're doing Hashem's work. We are the extension of Hashem's hand. But it's like, you know, when you ask your child to clean up the living room, and it's going to take you 25 minutes of telling your child back and forth, okay, 1 second, you know, could you do this? You did a great job, wonderful. Now maybe do this. And you could have done it in 3. But you'll take 25 minutes to help your child to clean up the living room. Why? Because you want your child to learn how to clean up the living room. If it's just he wanted the living room cleaned up, you do a chick-chuck. And sometimes our biggest mistakes in raising children or students or anything else is where we say, okay, we just want the results, so we'll take care of it ourselves. And then we create helpless, incapable, you know, dependence. We want to create
people who have the capacity to do it themselves, so even things which we could do ourselves, we ask them to do for us. Because the goal is to make great people. And when HaKadosh Baruch Hu created us, created humankind, the goal was to create great people. This is what we have to learn here. This is in the midst of all of these ethical mitzvahs. When Hashem says, you see a friend, his object is lost, make sure you get it back to him. Protect him from sustaining a financial loss. It's not that Hashem says, I am worried that that person shouldn't have a financial loss. Could you please take care of it for me? Hashem can make anybody whole with his mastery of the world. Hashem says, I want you to take responsibility for people. I want you to be a great person. So let's take a step back to look at this more completely. And to do it especially in our time of year, in this season. Baruch atu Adonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam shehakol nehiyah bidvarei. In this season of the Yomim Neiroim, of Zeh Ayin Tchilas Masecha, of when we prepare for Rosh Hashanah, which our Chazal tell us is the anniversary of the creation of man. Last week we talked a little bit about it, how on Rosh Hashanah man emerged and everybody looked at him, all the creatures looked and said, wow, that must be God, and they wanted to bow down to him. Remember, that was the original Rosh Hashanah. That was the original Rosh Hashanah. Anniversary of the creation of man. And Chazal tell us that in truth, every Rosh Hashanah is also the day of the creation of man. What do I mean? Where do Chazal say that? Chazal say that in the Parsha of the Karbonus of Rosh Hashanah. In Parshas Pinchas, you have the Musafim of the Yomim Tovim. The additional offerings which are given on every Yontiv are listed starting at Shishi in Parshas Pinchas. Before that you have the Korban Tamid, the daily offering, the Shabbos offering, the Rosh Chodesh offering, starting at Chamishi. These readings which are repeated throughout the year, different special times. On Rosh Chodesh, we read the sections about Shabbos and Rosh Chodesh. On Shabbos Musaf, we read the section about Shabbos in our Musaf. On Yomim Tovim, we lay in this. And it says, every time, this is the carbon you shall bring. So what does it say? It says, Takrivu Ailola Hashem, this is what you should offer. V'chodesh harishon, v'chamishon, etc. V'kraftem, you shall offer. V'kraftem, Allah, it says, by Shavuos, you shall offer. By Yom Kippur, v'kraftem, you shall offer. By Sukkot, every day of Sukkot, v'kraftem, and you shall offer. You shall bring close. Rosh Hashanah is one exception. Of all of them. The Pasuk says, in the seventh day, it's a Yontif, v'asisem, Allah, l'reach nichoach l'Hashem. And you shall make an ola as a reach nichach l'Hashem. So Chazal said, what are you talking about? Every yontiv, every korban, it says, v'kraftem, and you shall offer. And on Rosh Hashanah, it says, v'asisem, and you shall make. Say Chazal, that on Rosh Hashanah, it's as if you're making yourselves. When you go through the process of din on Rosh Hashanah, I'm considering it as if you made yourselves. A korban is normally to bring yourself close to Hashem. But Rosh Hashanah, which is the anniversary of the making of man, the creation of man, what we do on Rosh Hashanah, with the assistance of the process of judgment of Rosh Hashanah, is we make ourselves. What is Hashem making? How do we make ourselves? When Hashem created man on that first day, on that first Rosh Hashanah, on the sixth day of creation, so the Pasuk says, Hashem said, Nase Adam B'Tzalmeinu Kidmuseinu. We want to make man in our image, in our form. Tzelem Elohim. It says Hashem created man B'Tzalmei B'Tzelem Elohim Baraisa. In the image of God, He created him. What does it mean when we speak about the image of God? B'Tzelem Elohim, of course, has many meanings. Some understand, one basic understanding is that a human being has a spiritual side, a divine side. Hashem blew into man the neshama, which is divine, which is a chelek elokami mal. And in that way, man shares this property with Hashem. The physical body of a human being is a physical body, like the animals created from the earth. But the animals, Hashem didn't blow into them a neshama. They don't have the image of Hashem. They might have the fingerprints of Hashem, but they don't have the image of Hashem. Hashem didn't put something of Himself in them as part of them. For a human being, He did. The neshama, the soul. The soul is able to sense certain things. The soul that we can speak about, other aspects of bechira, free choice, all kinds of things, the power over other things that exist in the world. However, when we go further in the Torah, we find what seems to be the perush, the explanation of what does it mean, B'Tzelem Elohim, in the image of God. And that explanation is provided in Sefer Dvorim on several occasions, where the Torah says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu instructs us, V'halachta b'drachav. Moshe Rabbeinu says, you should walk in the ways of Hashem. You should do what Hashem does. Chazal understood, V'halachta b'drachav, that it's not just walking in the ways that Hashem instructed us, but it's walking in Hashem's own ways. It is doing an imitation of Hashem. What they call, this is a notion which is discussed by theologians of all kinds, lahavdil, what they call in Latin, sounds very sophisticated, is imitatio Dei, to imitate the God, to imitate Hashem. V'halachta b'drachav. Chazal say famously, as you know, as Hashem is merciful, you should be merciful. As Hashem is gracious, you should be gracious. As Hashem is truthful, you should be truthful. You should be a visible replica of Hashem. Hidavik b'midaisav. Do the things that Hashem does. Possess the character traits, which are the character traits of Hashem. That's a mitzvah of the Torah. One of the broad mitzvahs of the Torah, v'halachta b'drachav, to walk in the ways of Hashem. And it would seem that v'halachta b'drachav, that mitzvah of the Torah, is the fulfillment of the original image, the original plan, blueprint of what man was supposed to look like, which was Hashem. Tzelem Elohim, the divine image. How do you have the divine image? Is that some physical appearance? Of course not. So it's some hidden spiritual quantity that we have within ourselves? Possibly. But the Torah says, you know, a human being is given mitzvahs that are supposed to express the distinctiveness of a human being in action. That we do things differently. It's not just based on some ephemeral spirituality. But it's supposed to come out in action. And what's the action? The actions that we do are supposed to be the actions that mimic Hashem Yisbarach. Now, not every mitzvah is mimicking Hashem Yisbarach. Of course not. Does Hashem eat matzah? Not every mitzvah is an act of mimicking Hashem directly. But there are a whole series of mitzvahs, which are the mitzvahs of mimicking Hashem, of doing like Hashem. There are also mitzvahs of avodah, of relating to Hashem, of remembering Hashem, or of doing other things that will contribute to, we would say, the same result, which is that the person should be able to be a true Tzelem Elohim, should be able to truly have the image of Hashem. When Adam HaRishon was given his neshama, and all of the creatures came to bow down to him, like we discussed last week, like the Pirkei Rabbi Eliezer says, it's not that, Adam HaRishon was so impressive, so they said, we'll bow down to him, he must be God. Because they'd never seen God, and this was the most impressive thing they'd ever seen. They saw something which was in the image of Hashem. It's a normal mistake. they saw Hashem's look-alike. You know, I mentioned before at the beginning of the shir that in the second Aliyah of our parsha, we have this whole series of mitzvahs. And what was the first mitzvah? First mitzvah was burying a person on the same day. Kavod HaMes. Why, says the pasuk? Because kilalas elokim toli. To leave that person who was given capital punishment hanging, that's kilalas elokim. Some translate as cursing God, and some Rashi says it means it's kalil is light. It's making light of God. Why, says Rashi? Rashi says it's a mashal. I want to give you the following mashal. There was a great king. He was the most outstanding, wonderful king in the land. Unfortunately, this king, like many times is there, he had a skeleton in the closet. The skeleton in the closet was he had a rotten brother. And that brother was his twin brother. So imagine, he had a twin brother who was a hoodlum, a hooligan, a gunner, a bandit, a murderer. And he would go around and he would do his thing, and he looked exactly like the king. One day he did such a terrible crime, they decided to put him to death. So they put him to death and they hung him up in the town square. And people walk by and they look and they see the king hanging in town square. It's not the king. It's the king's twin brother. So what do? They say, okay, we have to give him the punishment, but quick. Put him away and bury him. Because when he's up there, it's like an insult to the king. People will think, oh, the king is up there. It's Rashi. That's the pshat. A human being is the divine image. When a human being is hanging, when a human being compromised who they are, what they're supposed to be, that's a disgrace to Hashem, because we're supposed to be his twin brother. Right? It's a strong way of saying it. Of course, you understand what do you mean. I mean, if a human being does that, then he doesn't end up looking like Hashem. The whole Tzelem Elokim is doing like Hashem. They don't do like Hashem, they don't look like Hashem. Right? It's one thing if we looked like him in some other way. Who had Vorim? That's it. A human being has that potential, has that divine peace within himself, and yet he managed to forfeit it, to forsake it. A person could think that that would, heaven forbid, be the same thing for Hashem. Hashem could go either way. No. So the kavod, the honor, which we want to accord the human being is because Akim. A human being Hashem made. He made us so we could be like him. So we can have the shleimus, the character, the full being of Hashem Yisbarach. You know, the Maral, I mentioned you before, writes this idea that the mitzvahs are there as decrees from Hashem Yisbarach. But they're decrees because they chart exactly what a human being is supposed to look like. That's the way to take it. It's because this is exactly how a human being is supposed to look. Hashem gave us the mitzvahs exactly how a human being is supposed to look. And that's Malchus, that's the Gzeira. But there too, and look, Hartman writes about this in the, brings Makaris for this very nicely in his footnotes there in that in the Tiferes Yisrael, Perk Vav, I think, that the idea is because we know a melech, a king, who's above his creatures. But the king can only be a melech when he still has some relationship with his subjects. There's such a thing as a meishel. A meishel is a ruler. You know, we sometimes might use the word a despot. He's the hallmark of a meishel is how out of touch he is with his subjects. You know, he's demanding and imposing. A melech, a king. The term melech is a very different word. Melech, you know, is like nimlach, to consult. A melech, as all the commentaries explain, as opposed to a meishel who's a forced ruler, melech is an embraced leader. And the melech is embraced, of course, to the extent that the subjects have an appreciation of the melech. They feel a connection to the melech. He's above them, but he's still one of them. And in order, Hashem, the gzeiras that he makes upon us, the decree that he makes upon us, is that he can be our king.
Because the closer we are to the character of Hashem Yisbarach, the more we accept Hashem Yisbarach as the King. The less we possess the divine way, the divine sensitivities, the more Hashem Yisbarach is imposed upon us. The more it's a difficult, again, imposition placed upon us from the outside. The Rambam has a famous, beautiful passage in his introduction to Pirkei Avos in the Shemayna Prakim Perek Vav. The Rambam says, and I've shared this with several of you before, the Rambam says, you know, the philosophers have a debate as to what's better. Is it better a person who wants all the right things and does everything nicely because he wants to? Or is it better the person who doesn't want the right things, but does them anyway? Who exhibits tremendous self-control, gevura, kovesh esitzro, excuse me, and does the right things nevertheless? Says the Rambam. And the philosophers feel that it's better the person who wants the right things. And he says, Shlomo HaMelech said that in Mishlei, Nefesh Rasha Ivsara. The soul of the Rasha desires bad. Right? So he brings, that's the verse, and other psukim, that show that the righteous person wants the right things. And then the Rambam says, but if you look at what the sages say about this, what Chazal say about this, you get the opposite impression. Because there are things which Chazal say that seem to imply that it's better to have to try hard. It's better when it doesn't come naturally. For example, there's a Mishnah in Pirkei Avos which says, L'fun tzara agra. According to the pain is the reward. The harder it is, the greater the reward. So that seems to imply that it's better if you don't want to do it. And, you know, you'll be more richly rewarded if you do something against your grain. And he brings as the coup de grace that Chazal say, there's a teres kain, and it says, a person shouldn't say, I'm not interested in eating meat and milk together. A person shouldn't say, I have no interest in wearing shatnez, wool and linen together. But rather, a person should say, I would love to do it, but Hashem told me not to, so I'm not going to do it. It says the Rambam, so you see, Chazal said, don't remove from yourself the desire to do that which is wrong. Have it and suppress it. So which one, who's right? The philosophers or the Chazal? Says the Rambam, they're both right. Chazal agree with the philosophers with certain mitzvahs and not with others. And that is that when there are mitzvahs that are mitzvahs of character, they're mitzvahs that the mitzvah person could appreciate what's wanted in the mitzvah. There, if a person doesn't want to do it and just does it because of Hashem Yisbarach, it's a character flaw. But a mitzvah which is apparently sort of just like a chayk, don't eat meat with milk. If a person doesn't want to do that, wants to eat meat with milk, it's the character flaw. What's wrong with wanting to eat meat with milk? Says the Rambam, if you notice, Chazal didn't say, a person shouldn't say, I wouldn't want to hurt that person. I wouldn't want to steal from that person. I wouldn't want to kill that person. But rather they should say, I would love to hurt them. I'd love to steal from them. I'd love to kill them. But what can I do? Hashem said, I shouldn't. Chazal never said that. Chazal didn't want us to want things that are obviously a sensitive person will want to be bad. So Chazal said, when it came to chukim, a person should learn deference to Hashem Yisrael. But the core of what we're trying to do is we're trying to create people who have good within them, who have tzelem elikim, who their soul wants the right things. And then they'll understand Hashem Yisbarach. Then we will understand Hashem. To be able to appreciate
what it's about to understand how each mitzvah is contributing to the greater structure of the human being being like Hashem Yisborach. And yes, even to have that class of mitzvahs where you say, you know, the only thing that this is doing is it's treating me to, teaching me to defer to Hashem Yisborach, to God. It's all to make the person B'Tzelem Elokim, the divine image. The divinity of man is not in his power, although there is divine power that a human being has. The divinity of man is not in his independence, although there's independence that man has, which is like Hashem. The divinity of man is not even just in the fact that he's of his being spiritual, metaphysical. All these things are true. They are part of it. But the closest thing to the divinity of man that we can talk about, to the Tzelem Elokim, is that which the Torah spells out for us as the Tzelem Elokim, that's our mandate, which is V'lachta B'drachav, to do what Hashem does, to feel like Hashem feels, which is what the Ramban is discussing here. The Ramban, in his way, is discussing here of the mitzvahs L'tzarif B'nes HaBriyos. A person gets up in daven and says, Hashem, you worry about the bird's nest. That's not what this pasuk is speaking about, Hashem worrying about the bird's nest. What this pasuk was about was Hashem worrying about us. That we should be great. That we should exemplify compassion like Hashem exemplifies compassion. Asisem, the avoda, the work of tshuva, of Rosh Hashanah, of our life as a whole, is to make ourselves that way. And on Rosh Hashanah, the anniversary when Hashem created man, and man emerged with B'Tzelem Elokim, man hadn't compromised himself yet. He stood up, and being said, wow, that is a human being that can take within him divinity. It's exactly what we're supposed to be. And while we might like to attribute that and say, well, that's because Adam Arishan's face was shining. That's because Adam Arishan was so tall, as he was the original creation. Chazal describe him as extending to the heavens from one end of the earth to the next. It's not there alone. We read in Dvarim, spoken to the generation that wasn't even the generation of Har Sinai. All the nations of the world will see that the name of Hashem is upon you, and they will be awestruck. We read in Dvarim, you will observe the mitzvahs because it will demonstrate your wisdom and your understanding before the eyes of the nations. They'll say, wow, what a wise, special people that is. The mitzvahs are there to create great human beings. Zehu vasisem. I want to add an akuda, a point of Torah, and then just a point of conclusion for us. The point of Torah is how Rosh Hashanah goes to Yom Kippur. I say Yom Kippur, it's go back to V'kraft. What is it? How does that work? Back to regular korbanos. But you know, in truth, in the avodah of Yom Kippur, you also have the vasisim. We don't, in the verse, it doesn't describe it as vikraftem because it's not the day of creation. It's the day of forgiveness. Kippurim, atonement. But how is forgiveness achieved? We know that we have a refrain which we use over and over again, starting from the beginning of Slichas. Right, the communities of the Svardim start saying Slichas, the beginning of Elul. All to lead up to the consummate Slichas of Yom HaKippurim. And Chazal tell us, although the Pasuk of Salachti Kidvarecha, I've forgiven you, is according to the Pasuk, was said by the Meraglim, but we have it as a tradition that was said on Yom Kippur for the sin of the Ego, for the golden calf. But we say Slichas. We, Minhag Ashkenaz, we start saying it Matzah Shabbos before Rosh Hashanah, a few days before Rosh Hashanah. But we say it through the days, the 10 days, until Yom Kippur. We say it over and over again. And the center point of Slichas is the recitation of the Yud Gimel Midas HaRachmin, the 13 attributes of mercy. Hashem, Hashem, Keo, Rachum, V'chanun. Hashem, Hashem, God, merciful, gracious, and so on and so forth. Why? Well, that was the prayer which Moshe Rabbeinu was taught by Hashem on the original Yom Kippur to attain forgiveness. The Gemara says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Moshe Rabbeinu, I want to teach you how the Jewish people should daven. And how they should daven. So he said he wrapped himself up like a shliach tzibur. Hashem wrapped himself in a talis like the chazan. And he said, Yasu lefonai k'seder hazeh. They should do before me like this order. Hashem, Hashem, k'rachem b'chana. Says the Shaloh HaKadosh, Gro, I think, says also, what does it mean, Yasu lefonai k'seder hazeh? So some would say, simple reading is, here's the sitter, here's the prayers, this is how they should do it. However, say the Rishonim, Yasu Lufanai Keseder Hazeh is, they should do this. They should be Rachum. They should be Chanun. They should be merciful. They should be gracious. They should be Neitzer Chesed La'alofu. They should remember a kindness forever. When they do this, then I will forgive them. When they do this, they'll have an appreciation of what I'm doing. There's no dveikus. There's no attachment to Hashem, just like there's no attachment between any two beings without commonality. Without appreciation that joins together, that's similar. Hashem says, if the people want to pray to me, and they want to come close to me, and they want to connect to me, they have to do like me. Moshe Rabbeinu said to Hashem, inform me of your ways, so I can know you, so I can find favor in your eyes. And in response to that, Hashem taught him the 13 attributes of mercy. Writes the Rambam, in the Mayor Nevuchim, Moshe Rabbeinu said, I have to understand you in order to be able to relate to you, to find favor in your eyes. I have to understand what you value, and then I can value it. So Hashem taught Moshe Rabbeinu what was important. So it's true, Rosh Hashanah is the day that we're supposed to make ourselves, and Yom Kippur is the day when we plead for forgiveness and for compassion from Hashem. And the language which we use to plead for compassion for Hashem is, we say, Hashem, you're so compassionate, you're so compassionate. But you know what, by the time you're finished, Yasul Fanei Keseder Hazeh, you're supposed to be compassionate, you're supposed to be like him. Because those are the kinds of people that people like to forgive. Those are the kinds of people that people like to sustain, to keep going. When? People who, they get it. They understand what's really important, what's important to me. That's what forges connection. The tefillahs are not just, okay, Hashem, we tried to make ourselves like you, we couldn't, so now we're pleading, getting down our hands and feet, knees. Tell me something. When you read Maftir Yaina, right before the end of Yom Kippur, at the story of Yaina, Hashem says, Yaina, to go and spare the city of Nineveh, to speak to them. And Yaina goes and speaks to them, and they do tshuva. And Yaina's upset. Ach, why are you accepting their tshuva? And the last words, Hashem says, Yaina, was with you. You didn't cherish this tree. You cherished this tree that, you know, how could I not care for this city? What do you feel when you're finished? What's the outcome of that reading? So you can look and say, oh, look, see how Hashem wants his creatures to be spared. It's so nice of him.
that there's a dynamic there between Hashem and Yaina. And the distance and difficulty between Hashem and Yaina was that Hashem wanted them to be spared and Yaina didn't. And when you finish and Hashem says, how can I not have compassion on such a place? You say, you know, I have to also. To be like that. It's asisim, it's making ourselves, and it's the tshuva for ourselves. So that's the Torah, the closing word of Torah. And the closing word, period, for the shiur, for our discussion, is that this is what it's about. The mitzvahs tell us a whole bunch of instructions. But, you know, it's sometimes, you know, it could be like paint by number. You know? You have a little spot, let's put a little yellow over here. Another spot, put a little green over there. So you can do it. You can cover up the whole puzzle, the whole thing, and just paint a little yellow, and then paint a little green. It's garnished. When you put it together, you take a step back and say, wow, what a beautiful picture. When we do the mitzvahs, sometimes we're stuck in paint by number. A little thing told me to do this, told me to do that, this detail, that detail. We don't always take the step back and say, you know something, this is not just a list, a shopping list that Hashem gave us. But this is part of one big thing. One big creation that Kodesh Baruch Hu wanted to make of us. To be different people. To be sympathetic people, merciful people, compassionate people. You know, I was reading recently how the Altar of Kelim, a very thoughtful, careful person, he once saw a road construction crew working. And in his days, it was more like I think now you call it like a chain gang or something like that. You know, they took prisoners, people who they didn't want, you know, and they were doing the hard work. They weren't driving nice trucks, you know, rollers and things like that. And he saw the work. And subsequently, when he traveled on a road, he was beside himself. So think about the blood and the everything that went into creating these roads. Ugh. That's a tzelem Elokim. Now today, it's still pouring. I saw something today that I never saw in my life except in pictures. Remarkable. I wasn't in Colorado or in Switzerland or anything like that. I was driving TA carpool. I went to pick up my sons. There was a lot of traffic because there was flooding. And I decided to try to go the back way. I started going back down this road. And the police had blocked the road because there was water in the roadway. So I had to turn down a street. Turn down a street and make a right turn, a left turn. And in front of me, it's like a slope, you know, downhill into a neighborhood. And I see a lake. A lake of brown water. See a park bench where you just see the top, you know, the green wood with the cement at the corner. I saw a street sign that all that was exposed was the green, you know, 4 inches and a couple of inches of metal, and the rest was covered in water. I never saw such a thing in my life except in the papers. Mamish a flood. And there are houses there. And, you know, kids can come in and say, oh boy, let's get a boat.
mitzvahs are given with tzar fenas habrias. There's no goal other than to make people great. It's not just a bunch of requirements. It's to make great people. That's Sisam. When you do tshuva, when we do tshuva on Rosh Hashanah, remember what Rosh Hashanah is the anniversary of. It's the anniversary of making a human being in the divine image. Making a giant. When you do tshuva, it's not just a little fix this, fix that. It's how can I make myself into a giant? How can I restore the greatness of myself as a human being? Shabbat should give us the ability to do that. It only happens through the details. But to be able to see the details as part of the whole that we're really trying to create.